Well, I'm going to continue with my second message in our series, Stones. And, you know, sometimes each of us can be pretty hard on ourselves. We can kind of put ourselves in little boxes, which sometimes make you conform to the expectations of everyone around you. Your past begins to define you. Your failures, your illness, your lack, your insufficiency, your weaknesses. And that begins to define you, and that kind of becomes the box that you live your life in. And do you know what that does to you? You begin to see yourself not as you were created to be, but rather who you have become. Listen very carefully. You begin to see yourself not as you were created to be, but instead who you have become. Who you have become sometimes is not who you were created to be. Turn around to your neighbor and say that. Who you have become may not be who you were created to be. And when that happens to you, when this box that confines you and says, this is who you are, sealed, signed, and delivered, stamped, you begin to stop believing in you, because you begin to believe, this is me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that you find yourself in that box? For some of us, sometimes we live in that box. For some of us, we kind of put the box away for a little bit and then we jump right back into it, and we have this kind of in-out game that we play with this box. But listen to what Psalm 139 verses 14 to 16 says. Listen really carefully. It says, oh yes, you shaped me inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. Everybody say, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. The psalmist is writing these beautiful words as he pictures, some versions say, God knitting us together in our mother's womb. And the fact that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn around to your neighbor and say, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm about to tell you a story. A story of a young girl. She was created just like you and me in the image of God. She was like any other young girl. She grew up in a city. She perhaps studied and did what most young girls would do. She probably had brothers and sisters. She had parents. She perhaps fell in love with more than one boy as she was growing up. Perhaps she had dreams and aspirations of what her life would be like and who she would marry and what she would do and what would become of her. But perhaps somewhere along the way, this young girl made choices that she would later regret. She finds herself as a young adult, becoming the desire of men. We don't know why she became and found herself in this profession, but she became a woman who was available for men if they were willing to pay to have an intimate relationship with her. She perhaps is in this situation even though she never intended to be in this situation. She finds herself stuck in this box. And this was not who she was created to be, but it was who she had become. I'm sure she looked at different ways of dampening and lessening the pain of the disappointment of her dreams. The standards that society had set and expected of her, she'd completely failed and she'd completely missed the mark. So much so that there came a time where she needed to be stoned to death because she was found doing what she should not have been doing. She was sleeping with another man. She was prostituting herself. And here, this young woman, this young girl is brought to Jesus, thrown onto the streets. The religious scholars and Pharisees led a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery." Now, how many of you know you cannot commit adultery by yourself? So there was somebody else who was committing adultery with her. But the powers that be did not bring the man who was sinning with her. But they definitely brought the woman. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something incriminating so that they could bring charges against him. You know, this story in the Bible is really about the people trying to find Jesus out and to find a reason to accuse him so they could then do things to Jesus that they wanted to do because people were against him. And they were prepared to leverage a poor woman to achieve their goal. She becomes party to this big political tamasha that was going on. Coming back to this young girl, thrown out in the public eye, sitting on a street somewhere in Jerusalem, men, women, children around her, with stones in their hands, ready to accuse her. This morning I want to talk about the stones of accusation. Each one of you at some point in your life would have faced them. Each one of us at some point in our life may have been like this woman in a situation where people, the circumstances, what was happening was there condemning us to death because of the box that we find ourselves in. Sometimes because of our own making. Sometimes because of the things that have happened to us. Sometimes because of what other people have done for us. Sometimes simply because of circumstances beyond our control. We find ourselves in a box. We find ourselves not being who we were created to be, but who we have. You begin to draw your identity from your accusers. You begin to draw your identity from your past. We begin to draw our identity from our failures and our lack and our insufficiency, rather than looking at who God created us to be. I want you this morning to do one thing, and I want you to remember this, to believe in you. I want each one of us to believe in you. Turn around to your neighbor and say, "I want you to believe in you." We believe so many things. You may perhaps even believe in Jesus. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you also believe that you are nothing. You also believe that you are the outcome of your life and your experiences, that this is who you have become. But you know, here at Life, it is not about who you have become. It is about where you are going. It is about what Jesus has for you. Amen. Here at Life, we don't see people for who they have become or who they are, but who God created us to be. And everything that we will do at life would be to encourage you, to push you, and to take you in that direction so as you can look back a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and say, I was in that box and I didn't like who I had become. But thank God I came to life, I heard God's word, I was encouraged, I was believed in, I was taught to believe in me. And look at who I am now, created in the image of God. Don't draw your identity, and don't let the accusations of people, of life, or circumstances and situations become the box that shapes you and forms you into who you have become. The word says, conform no longer to the pattern of this world. What shape has this world made you? I'm not talking about your physical shape, but your emotional, your physiological, your psychological, your mind. How do you see yourself? Who do you think you are? The Bible cautions us about not thinking too highly of ourselves, but the Bible also cautions us about not thinking so lowly of ourselves. So we need to have the right attitude in who we are. We've got to dream big. We teach you to dream big. We encourage you to dream big. Many of you have shared your dreams with us. And we say, go, dream big. But if you put yourself in a box and your dream is independent of you, your dream will exist, but you will never achieve your dream. You've got to get out of the box that you find yourself in. Do you know this young woman was surrounded by people ready to stone her? Every one of them had the right to stone her. Not just to stone her, but to stone her till she was dead. It was not God's time for her, because she wasn't dying of natural causes, but people chose that it was her time to die because of what or who she had become. An accusation is a claim that someone has done something wrong or illegal, a charge that someone has committed a fault or a crime. Your greatest accuser is Satan himself. The Bible reminds us that the devil is the accuser of the saints. But the Bible also reminds us that Jesus is our high priest. And he stands before the Father. And any accusation that comes to the Father about each one of you, Jesus says, I've got that covered. I've got that covered. Oh, the devil will say, oh my gosh, you don't know Ian. I mean, he is bad. And Jesus says, I got that covered. No, no, you don't understand. He gets angry and, you know, he sometimes loses his cool. And Jesus says to the Father, don't worry, Father, I got that. Oh, no, no, no. You don't know what he was doing when he was young, the things he got up to. I mean, he was naughty as can be. Jesus says, it's okay. I got that covered. What is it covered with? It's covered with the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives me of all my sin, that covers me of all my inadequacies, that takes away all the blemishes of my life, whatever they are, and renders me spotless and pure before a holy God. There is no accusation that the devil can throw at you that God would listen to when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, because you are covered by the finished work of the cross. Amen. So no matter how you may have failed, and no matter what box you find yourself in, those false accusations, yes, I may have been a nasty boy, yes, I may have done bad things, yes, I was a sinner, but Jesus has got me covered. So when I relate to God, I don't relate to him as a sinner, but I relate to him as a saint. But the Bible calls us saints because we have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. We have been made righteous by what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes the stones of accusation from our past. How many of you have met up with people from your past, and all of a sudden you have a flashback of something that you may have done that they know about, but nobody in your present knows about? You know what I'm talking about? And you never want the two to interact. Just in case there's a slip between the lip and the cup, in case he says something, and how I'm presenting myself now is not who I was then. You with me? The stones of our past can come to us. Sometimes the weaknesses and the stones of our present can be things that people throw at us. Oh, look at you right now. What are you doing? Who are you? Look at what you might have. Any good going to come out of you? I mean, come on. You've been trying and you've been failing. You've been trying. Come on. Is anything going to happen with you? Get yourself together. Sometimes our own voice, our inner voice that speaks to us, sometimes louder than any other voice that says, are you ever going to make it in life? Look at you. This is who you are. Sometimes we almost stone ourselves to death with words of condemnation and accusation. But you know, even when you're thinking that, remember this one line. Jesus has got it covered. You see, when Jesus has me covered, I can believe in me. It doesn't mean to say that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean to say that I get everything right. But I know that my heart is set on following Jesus. I know that I want to live my life in the will and the purpose of God. And yes, there's a lot of nonsense and chaos may be happening in my life. My bank balance is not right. My relationships, I need to work on them. My work prospects are not as what I expect them to be. I'm not uncertain about my future. But I still have got to keep believing in me. Come on. Turn around to your neighbor and say, believe in you. You've got to believe in you. Why? Because if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He dwells with you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, by His Holy Spirit dwells within me. Don't let the accusations of your failure punish you right now. One of the dangers of our society is that we only celebrate success and we punish failure. The one thing that kept me going from one class to the other was the fear of failing. I've told you the story many times, so I won't repeat it. The fear of wearing short pants, because you could only wear them in class 7. And I had to make it through 3, 4, 5, 6. Otherwise, I'd be short pants and hairy legs in class 3 or 4. Because you would be kept back. And we had one young guy in our class, in our year, that never made it for 2 or 3 years. And he was quite happy. But he had short pants and hairy legs. And in those days, as a young boy, you were waiting to wear long pants. It's changed now, though. But when we celebrate success and when we punish fear, people resent success because they're too afraid to fail. Do you understand? Here in life, I always say, I believe in my leadership, in everyone that I've led over the years. Here in life, I believe in creating an arena for you to succeed, which means you will fail. Because for you to succeed, you've got to try to succeed, which means you might fail. But because you fail, you try again till you succeed. You with me? But if you say, you know what, I never want to fail, but I want to succeed. So until I succeed, I will never try, which means I don't want to fail. I am still here, living in cuckoo land, living fantasy out of my life, dreaming of becoming somebody or something, but never trying because I'm too afraid to. One of the ways I would win my races was run with people I knew I could always beat. But that's no fun. There's no competition in that. But when you really run with people you're really competing with, it pushes you to excel. And I would train a little bit. I just had speed in my bones, and so I could run fast. And I won all of my races. And in school, you just put with somebody and you got to run till you make it to the final heat. And the joy of winning that race and beating everybody else. I remember people saying, I'm believing in myself right now. I ran like the wind. I don't know what happened after that. The wind was taken out of me. I can float around like the wind now. But never be afraid to fail. Because when you fail, it means you have been trying to succeed. So it's time for us to begin to stop focusing on how society sees us, who you have become. Rather, I want you to begin to see yourself as who you are, who God created you to be when He knit you together in your mother's womb. In life, if we stop believing in you, when you look at you and you don't like what you see, it's time for us to begin to see you differently. See you as Jesus sees you, forgiven, loved, accepted, being perfected, becoming all that God wants you to be, on that journey of progress and success towards the purposes of God. You are a reflection of who God created you to be, not necessarily who you have become. Hearing that, they walked away one after another. Beginning with the oldest, the woman was left alone. What did they hear that changed their behavior in being prepared to stone that woman to death? What they heard was this: you who is without sin, throw the first stone. The accuser, who had decided that this woman would be stoned to death without accusing anybody, Jesus said, if you can throw a stone at her and know that you have never sinned, do it. And people dropped their stones to their feet and they walked away. And this woman was left on the streets of Jerusalem with Jesus looking down at her, and he said, go, woman, and where are your accusers now? Do you know, Jesus could have accused her, could have said, woman, what you were doing was wrong. But what did he say? Father, I've got her covered. Yes, people want to stone her to death, but I've got her covered, Lord. Woman, where are your accusers now? Can you imagine what that meant for that woman who was probably shivering on the streets, fearful that she was about to go through hours of stoning till she died? And Jesus, in few simple words, said, I've got her covered. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. Woman, where are they now? Does no one accuse you or condemn you? No one, Master. Neither do I, said Jesus. Go on your way from now on and do not sin. That woman had to believe in herself to stand up and walk away and live a life free from the sin and the sinner that she had become. But what is it that brought that hope? It was the certainty of knowing that Jesus had her covered. It was the confidence of knowing that he had set her free from her past, and the certainty and the assurance of knowing that she was loved and accepted by the very man who had the authority and the right to stone and to end her life. I want to encourage each one of us this morning that you would not allow the stones of accusation, whether they're from your past, your present, from whatever angle they're coming, that you would not allow them to make you become who you shouldn't be, but rather focus on who God created you to be. Shake off the voices. Turn to Jesus Christ and say, God, I want to be who you created me to be. And all of heaven dwells within me. The Holy Spirit is within me. And I am believing that I will become who you created me to be, because I believe in me. Say this with me. It's time for me to believe in me. David reminds us that God will destroy those who speak falsehoods. In our culture of accusation, offense, and falsehoods, remember the right response of faith. Your shield, your protector is not man, but God. Believe in you. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank you for what you do in our lives. I thank you that we do not need to conform any longer to the pattern or to the box of this world, but you call us to the hope that we have in you, to become who you created us to be. And Lord, this morning we shake off, we rid ourselves of all the accusations and the voices that leave us crippled sometimes and leave us frozen and uncertain about our future. And we stop living life to the full. But instead, Lord, today, we turn to you, Jesus Christ. And we know that you've got us covered. And that we can believe in you. And again, begin to believe in ourselves and who you called us to be. This morning, as we take communion, I don't want you just to stroll up here and take communion like you do each Sunday, but I want you to come believing in who you are in Jesus Christ. Believe in the certainty of knowing that Jesus believes in you. You need to believe in you. Come up this morning and in faith break that bread and drink of that cup and step into the fullness of the promises that Jesus has for you. If you'd like prayer, Naomi and I are here to pray with you. If you need ministry to break you out of those boxes that you've been, we'll pray that Jesus would set you free today and bring healing and restoration into your life. Come in faith this morning. Let's receive from Jesus. If you trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then you can partake of this communion table. You can come up and take that wine and that bread and believe for Jesus to bring healing into your life.